The following is a Leading the Way special presentation.
I do believe in heaven. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like after we pass.
It's more of like a state of being.
I mean, it could be a reunion of those that have passed on.
I think it's really beyond our ability to comprehend.
I believe when you pass away, your soul goes straight to heaven.
Maybe everybody goes to their own personal heaven.
It's going to be wonderful. I do know that.
It may be nothing. We don't know for sure.
What will heaven be like? The only way to know is by searching the scriptures. Discover the stunning truth of heaven as Dr. Yusuf, cultural anthropologist, pastor, and author, discusses our eternal future as heaven awaits.
There are so many misconceptions about what it is, but we do know because the Bible tells us that heaven is real. And I know, Dr. Michael Yusuf, that aside from talking about Jesus, your favorite thing to talk about is heaven. And you say it's our best investment for earth. People tend to think about heaven as, I'll think about that later. But you say it's our 401k plan right now.
That's exactly right. Well, it's better than that because the dividends is absolutely incalculable. It grieves me that even people in churches either don't know much about heaven or don't want to know much about heaven. But the problem is that's where you're going to live forever. And that is why I really want the believers to begin to think of heaven here and now. And even we have preachers say, don't talk about heaven or hell. In fact, they're forbidding people from talking about hell or talking about heaven in their churches because they said, it's a turnoff. Turnoff from what? If I turn off somebody from going to hell, I'll do it all day long.
Well, in a turnoff, what are we selling here? I mean, are you selling something or are you trying to bring people to the Lord?
That's the point. They are selling something. They're selling that your life, your best life is now. Mm. And if your best life is now, God help us.
Yes.
But for the non-believers, it is their best life. They're not going to get any better. But for us, this is the worst life. The best life is yet to come. And so that is, heaven should be on the mind of every genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible-believing Christian people. I'm not talking about the professing Christians and those who play churches. I'm talking about genuine believers.
What are the misconceptions? I saw you as we were watching that briefly. There were some crazy things people believe about heaven. What are the biggest misconceptions out there?
Well, I like to focus more on people in the church because outside there, they really have no idea. I mean, they just hear about it. And Hollywood basically sold us a big lie. It says everybody, when they die, they go to heaven or become a ghost or become an angel. And they create all those kinds of fantasies that have no relationship with reality whatsoever.
We just care about what the Bible says.
Exactly. But even so, the Christians themselves do not want to know what the Bible says. And this is what grieves me. And they said, well, you know, I don't want to trouble myself with this. I just want to say when I die and if I go to heaven, that's fine. If I don't, why do you buy insurance?
Right.
So that you can leave some money to your descendants? You should be buying insurance in terms of your own eternity. And there are some people also within the church, again, the professing Christians, would say, well, I bought an insurance policy. I took Jesus as my Savior. Back yonder, I walked down the aisle and I made that decision. And they're living like the devil. And they think, well, I got the insurance policy, but the premiums have not been paid. They may have got it one day, but the premiums, it's lapsed. It is daily walk with Christ. It's daily intimacy with Christ. It's daily love for Jesus and love for His people. Those are the premiums. Those are the regular assurance that this policy is still valid. But if you say, well, I did it, you know, 25 years ago, and I'm fine. No, you're not. That is a misconception.
But they are, can you lose your salvation?
I don't know if they were saved to begin with. They think that because they walked down that aisle at the age of 9 or 10 or 11 or 12.
That's it.
And in an emotional response, that they're okay. They bought the policy. And that is, you were asking me about the misconception. That's one of the biggest, is I make my decision a long time ago. I've taken care of that. And we need to plead with people and appeal to people to understand what heaven is all about. And that's why in part of my calling, the few years I've got left, is to elevate people's vision from this life into life eternal. Because it is life eternal that's going to impact this life in a way that if they're looking for joy, looking for peace, and looking for love, looking for kind, I mean, that is what heaven, the thought of heaven will do.
How? How do I get those things in this life by connecting to and understanding better what's to come in heaven?
Well, because the scripture says that we're going to have rewards in heaven. It's not everybody going to get a trophy. It's not everybody's going to get the same. No.
So it's different for different people?
Absolutely, because in fact, the Bible talks about five different crowns in heaven. And these are not necessarily crowns that we're going to put on our head and said, hey, look at me, boys. But these are the crowns that we so gratefully, I don't know if I can emotionally get through this, we're so gratefully going to come at the feet of Jesus and lay them down and say, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving me.
Is that crown our service to him now? What are the crowns?
Well, for example, Paul talks about the crown for those who love his appearing. Mm. There is a specific reward and a specific crown to those who are really living with the anticipation of the coming of the Lord, those who love his appearing. There's a crown of faithfulness in service. So all these crowns are things that we're going to bring to Jesus, or I'm going to go, my hands are empty. I don't have anything. Thank you for saving me. And so that is really what the crowns are all about. It's not for us to necessarily to be glorified, but in order to glorify Jesus.
But to be clear, we don't earn our way into heaven, correct?
Absolutely not. And this is the whole point. I'm talking to believers, people who have this assurance of salvation and eternal life, that they have submitted their life to Christ, that they've become born again from inside out, and not just going through the outward motions. And they know who they are, you know, because the Bible said that the Spirit witnesses within us. We know. And you know something else we know? Is the Spirit witnessing us, we know the other believers, the brothers and sisters, we immediately sense that spiritual connection. And so the Spirit within us, the Spirit witness with us, so those are the people I want to talk to.
The rewards that wait for us in heaven. I don't know, even with the Apostle John's great descriptions of what he saw, we just don't really have it in us to even begin to imagine what the face of God will look like or what it will look like.
Yeah.
But you know this Bible well. Give us a picture. What is heaven like? That's a big question.
Sure. What's going to make heaven to be heaven is Jesus. Mm. That's really the bottom line. But think about this. Moses could not see the face of God. Mm. And he had to hide him in a cliff and then kind of doesn't see his face. No one could see the face of God without being incinerated, because of the purity and the holiness and relationship to our sinfulness. But here's the great news. In heaven, we're not going to be in this current condition. We will have a glorified body, a supernatural body. The Bible says it's a body like Jesus after the resurrection. Mm. And because of that body, the new body that we have, we'll be able to see the face of God. When Moses couldn't, nobody could, not Abraham, nobody. But we will be able to see the face of God because of the supernatural body that will be given to us when we land there.
And so important to remind people, Dr. Youssef, this invitation Jesus extends to everyone who can see us right now and hear us right now. He's inviting you into this relationship.
Absolutely. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whomsoever, and the invitation is open, and you can receive it or you can reject it. It's your decision. And, you know, one of the things that excite me about our ministry around the world is the promise of Jesus in Matthew 24. He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached ta ethna, every ethnic group, to the end of the world, to the end of the earth, and then the end will come. Hmm. And so being involved in taking the gospel to 175 countries is exciting to know that we are literally preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every ethnic group, so that the end will come and that we will see Jesus face to face. And that's really, the two are connected. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, salvation of souls, and heaven, they're all tied together.
And so is that part of our mission as individual Christians right now? Is that part of our tie to heaven, is to make sure that we're helping get as many people there as possible?
I think we're under obligation to witness, as Peter put it, to give an account of the hope that lays within us. How can I know a cure to cancer and not tell people about it? That is really the bottom line. If I know somebody who's dying of cancer and I know the cure and I don't tell them, people are dying in sin and going to eternity in hell. And I know the answer. I have received the answer. I've been blessed to receive that treatment. And that's the only treatment that's going to heal people from sin and eternal hell to eternal heaven.
I have to, you know, that might be the time when people are thinking the most about heaven. You mentioned the word cancer. People who are growing older, people who are facing some health crisis, or a family member who's facing a health crisis. That might be when people kind of tune in a little bit to hear more about what heaven is about.
Sometimes those little crises the Lord brings and permits to remind us, this is not our home. We are travelers. You don't see anybody who set up house inside the train while the train is traveling. Now, you're in a train, you can't wait to get off to the station you want to go to. And this is the train. We're traveling. We're heading for home. And if we start camping and make this to be our home, God help us.
And when we accept Christ, and when we believe that, and when we look forward to heaven, the things of this earth are not so heavy. I mean, isn't that another benefit of heaven right now on earth? Is just, it's not all about this. There's hope. There's more.
I think that's the whole thing. The whole thing that gives us comfort in this life, we began talking about that, that the very blessing of this life comes from knowing that we have a far better home. Mm. And I tell people when I do a funeral of friends and believers who know they're going to heaven, I said, this is just a transformation. I call it going from the basement to the penthouse. I mean, you going from the tent to the mansion. It's not by accident that Paul calls this body a tent. A tent through the years will sag and become loose and then collapses. That's what's happened with time. And this tent will fold one day, but thank God I have a mansion that is in comparison to this one, the supernatural body, the glorious body that I will receive when I go to heaven. And if you compare it, it's a tent to a mansion.
And that's us physically. Will we have bodies in heaven?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the longest chapters, 58 verses. But the whole argument that the Apostle Paul makes in that chapter is very, very important. We're not going to be floating souls in heaven. He said we'll be clothed. And we'll be clothed with bodies that are supernatural bodies, that bodies that like Jesus' body after the resurrection, so we'll be able to see and observe things and experience things the way the heavenly bodies experience. Otherwise, we couldn't.
Will we know each other?
Absolutely.
Because that's something people...
I know.
It's so hard to let a loved one go, but if they believed in the Lord...
Oh, I always say this is not a goodbye. This is a see you later. Oh. Because for the believers, that's what it is. It is a temporary separation. But we will recognize each other. I mean, look, I'll give you examples from the Bible because I'm not smart enough to make up the stuff. I'm telling you. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when our Lord took just three disciples with him, and there they said Moses and Elijah. How did they recognize their Moses and right. Elijah? Even though they were in glorified body. But they recognized them. And remember this. There's a difference between the third heaven, which is currently is where the believers go, and the new heaven and the new earth.
Okay. I watched my precious little mom in her last hours seeing something and smiling and marveling at it.
Sure.
You have a beautiful story. Your mother
yep.
heard them singing.
Yep.
Where did they go? Where are they now?
They go to the current heaven, the very heaven that John the Revelator saw, the heaven that Paul saw, and he said he's not allowed to talk about, and the heaven where Jesus is reigning and ruling right now. But then both John and the other, Peter, also says, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that the old earth will roll away, but there's going to be a new one. And that is indescribable. And we don't know a great deal about it. And we will, of course, experience it when Lord Jesus Christ comes back.
What will heaven really be like?
I believe in heaven. I believe when you pass away, your soul goes straight to heaven with God.
Maybe everybody goes to their own personal heaven.
I definitely believe in a heaven and a hell. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're not good, you go to the other place.
What I'm most excited about for heaven is being able to see God, Jesus and God, face to face.
Overall, I do have an overwhelming sense that there is something after this.
It may be nothing. We don't know for sure.
I think it's really beyond our ability to comprehend.
We're all searching. The only way we can be sure of our future is by looking to Scripture. Discover the stunning truth about eternity as Dr. Yusuf dismantles misconceptions and brings biblical clarity to the awe-inspiring reality of heaven in his highly anticipated new book, Heaven Awaits.
We are more confused about heaven today than any other time, including churches.
In Heaven Awaits, Dr. Yusuf unpacks the facets of heaven's promised beauty, as well as the blessings and benefits that Jesus described in striking detail. Receive biblical clarity about heaven as Dr. Yusuf dispels common and misleading misconceptions perpetuated in our culture. Allow Scripture to inform your understanding of heaven and be encouraged as you discover that it is better than you could possibly imagine.
Focusing on heaven produces godliness here and now. Focusing on heaven brings us joy and comfort here and now in the midst of trials.
This month, for your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you your own copy of Heaven Awaits. Uncover what the Bible really says about the path to eternal life. This is the perfect resource to both encourage the believer and reach the non-believer alike. Be inspired, encouraged, and comforted as Dr. Yusuf reminds you that life is fleeting, but heaven is forever. Get your copy of Heaven Awaits for your gift of any amount today.
How different would this world be if Christians, if believers, focused more on heaven?
It will become almost like heaven on earth, I promise you. And this is where it goes, start with the believers. And every revival in the past started with believers. When they were stricken over their sin and repented and began to focus on their eternal home, things have happened, whether it be the first great awakening, second great awakening, or the Hebrides or in Wales, as we know from history, these things happen, but only when the believers start really, truly believe what they say they believe and practice it. And life will change. In some of those great awakenings, they said the policemen literally had nothing to do. Judges were handed white gloves. There was just no cases in the court. And would not we love a day like that again? But if it doesn't come and Jesus comes back, that's even better.
But it's a lovely challenge for believers.
Absolutely.
Will we have jobs in heaven? Will we have things
to do? Oh, yeah,
we're
going to work.
We won't be bored.
No. You know, this whole concept of, cherubic fat babies with wings and playing the harp and all. These are about medieval fantasies. But the Bible says that we're going to reign and rule with him. And his servant do serve him, says in the book of Revelation. So we will be serving the Lord. We'll be worshiping him. We'll be serving. Look, we've got a whole universe to run. We'll be running the universe with Jesus. It's not just a little tiny speck called planet Earth. We got a new heaven and new earth.
What's the biggest misconception? For believers, well, there are so many for non-believers.
Sure.
I want to ask you that one. What's the biggest misconception for believers
that bothers you? Well, is the doubt. That really, if you know about bothering me, when I say sometimes, and I know somebody is a believer, and I said, well, I just hope so. I said, no. It's not that you hope so. You already put your faith in Christ. You take him at his word. He's not going to go back in his word, and therefore heaven is your destination.
Earlier you had said, when believers see each other, meet each other, we know it.
Yeah.
We sense that.
Yeah.
I also believe that when believers and non-believers alike hear truth, they receive
recognize it.
So why are churches turning away from truth, especially when it comes to preaching heaven and hell?
Yeah, because it's easy. They choose the easy way out. And Jesus said, wide is the road. And it's easy. He said that. He says, wide and easy, but narrow and difficult, the road that leads to salvation. And so it's my plea for all of the elect, those who know and love Jesus, do not turn your back on the narrow road, because that is your salvation. That is your eternity. Stay with it. The suffering is only for a short period of time, but eternal joy is going to be forever. And so this is the time when the believers begin to really take seriously their eternal home, their eternal future, and where they will spend eternity, and what they're going to say when they see Jesus. I tell folks, I said, I am simply looking forward to the words from his wonderful lips, well done. That's it. And the amazing thing is, and that's very important to me, Jesus did not say, much done.
Hmm.
Much done. And I could go to heaven and said, you know, look how many books I've written, how many sermons I've written. No. Did I do all these things faithfully? It's my faithfulness. Well done. Not the quantity, but the quality.
What a beautiful distinction. And Michael, thank you so much for writing this book, Heaven Awaits. Everything that we've been talking about and so much more is included in your most recent book, Heaven Awaits. And I feel like this is not only inspiration for believers to get into the Word of God, you even include in the back a list of passages that we need to be looking at every day for inspiration. But it's wonderful to have that book to use as a tool to get other people excited about heaven and excited about Jesus.
And I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. And that book actually is my heart longing from what I distilled from the Word of God. There's not a single opinion of mine here. It's what Jesus said, what the Word of God said, what the Book of Revelation said, and what we're expecting from the Bible, what the Bible said about heaven. So all about God and His Word.
And when we talk about heaven, it's such a big subject. And again, I have to thank you for this is not you heard somebody died and came back. No. This is what does the Bible say?
Right.
What does Jesus say?
Right.
Old Testament and New about heaven. What really inspired you for this particular book?
You already referred to it, this heavenly tourism.
Yeah.
Where people say, well, I went to heaven, I saw this and I saw that and saw the other thing. And I said, why do I have to take your word for it when I already have the word of the one who died and went to heaven and came and told me about it, the one who created heaven, the one who made heaven? And so, but we are, as humans, we just kind of hang on all this little things that are not really going to help us afloat. We think they do, so that is why I said, I want people to know what Jesus says about heaven, what the Bible said about heaven, what God and what we as believers expect about heaven. So that really was a major motivation.
You use a wonderful analogy in your book. When you and your beautiful wife, Elizabeth, were planning to move to the United States, you didn't just kind of pop on a plane and get here and then see what it was all about. You did your homework.
Absolutely. We spent hours looking at the neighborhoods. We looked at maps and talking to people that we know that have been in that area. I mean, this is just part of, and we're going to spend only a few years. And I was like, how much more should we be making these plans for what we're going to spend eternity? And that's really part of my motivation of I want believers to start taking their eternity seriously, because when they do, they're going to find this life a blessing.
Absolutely. And I have to say, for me too, that was one of the great joys about reading this book. It's very motivational and inspirational, based on God's word, for living the best today, for reaching out to others, for pouring into others.
Oh, what a joy it would be for us to go to this effort and to go to write the book and so forth. If there's one person, and I know more than one person over there who's watching, and you say, well, Michael, I don't understand this about heaven. I don't understand this about Jesus. You know, it is so simple. Satan complicates it. That we're all sinners. We're all born sinners. We're all born with our backs to God. We're all born to say no to God. But then there is an answer. Because if we continue in this life going against God, we're going to end up in eternity in hell. But Jesus made a way. He came from heaven, died on a cross to pay for the wages of everyone who would come and confess. He said, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Or people say, I'm not perfect. Well, you're saying you're a sinner. And therefore, ask for his forgiveness. Invite him into your life, and you will never be the same. Do that today.
Dr. Michael Youssef, thank you so much. Thank you for this book. Thank you for your passion for the Lord.
Praise God.
And we just invite everyone
Amen.
To enjoy this book, share this book, and remember that for you, heaven awaits. Thank you for joining us.
In Heaven Awaits, Dr. Youssef unpacks the facets of heaven's promised beauty, as well as the blessings and benefits that Jesus described in striking detail. Receive biblical clarity about heaven as Dr. Youssef dispels common and misleading misconceptions perpetuated in our culture. Revel in Scripture's stunning, precise descriptions of the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, and see the brilliant redemptive story of the gospel.
Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you must allow God to do something in you.
This month, for your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you your own copy of Heaven Awaits. Uncover what the Bible really says about the path to eternal life. Be inspired, encouraged, and comforted as Dr. Youssef reminds you that life is fleeting, but heaven is forever. Get your copy of Heaven Awaits for your gift of any amount today. You've been watching a special Leading the Way presentation.
Join us next week for a Mother's Day special program featuring encouragement and prayer from Elizabeth and Dr. Michael Youssef, an original song from the Apostles' Worship Team, and the impactful continuation of the Heaven Awaits sermon series. You don't want to miss next week on Leading the Way.